We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Post-game show. The Warriors will not be playing the Denver Nuggets on the 30th, and it's kind of weird. The game canceled. Draymond Green not too happy.
Postponed. The Warriors are going to end the calendar year with a loss. I mean, my God, Sam, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
We're about to complain about Kelly Oubre some more, right?
Damn, can you believe that the beginning of this year? We're going to do a bit of a New Year's kind of a resolution here, kind of cap off the year. Can you believe we walked into this year, 2021? Oh, man, the angst that we had every podcast. And then we end the year, Sam. We end the year tonight on the 30th, and as happy as anybody can be, the Warriors are first in the West. And even with this game being postponed, the Warriors are the best team in the NBA. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this, and we'll kind of talk about what we want to see from the Warriors going forward. But Draymond tonight, I think, is the story, right? Draymond, like you just said, Draymond was in protocols, but it doesn't seem like he's sick. Seems like he's fine.
I think it's now abundantly clear he's asymptomatic. So I'm going to read his tweet to you from @money23green. How do you continue to cancel games when you've implemented rules to prevent this from happening? Is that not a competitive advantage for other teams? The guys we didn't have due to the protocol list played no role in Tuesday's loss. Pick a side, but don't straddle the fence.
I can't disagree with him in that if I were him, I would be frustrated. If I were the Warriors, I would be frustrated. Tonight was a game that the Warriors going to win, probably going away, right?
Yeah.
After what happened the other game, where the Warriors didn't lose because they were missing guys. Let's be clear. The Warriors lost because they play like shit. The Nuggets are missing guys too, regardless of what happened the other night. But I think the frustration then that we hear after the fact that the Nuggets pretty much chose not to play tonight. It wasn't that they were sent into COVID protocols last second, right? They were actually questionable to play with injuries. And then Mike Malone kind of just said, you know what? We're just going to postpone this game until we're healthier. Right. And I can't blame the Nuggets for doing that. But if you're Draymond, I mean, you got to be pissed.
Yeah. I think the overarching theme with the NBA, and I don't really want to get into COVID protocols too much because, like you, I'm not a doctor. It's the inconsistency that I think players are having an issue with, where it's like, you know, in the NFL, they have a very clear directive with how players are in and out of protocols. With the NBA, it seems to change every game. And I think that's what's drawing players pretty frustrating. Like, did the Nuggets maybe just use an excuse to, like, not have to play a full game today? I don't know. Maybe. I would do that too. But, like, yeah. It seems to me that the frustration starts with the fact that the protocols have changed five times over. And, you know, for like guys as competitive as Draymond, I don't think they really care what the rules are. I think they care about the rules being, the same the whole way through, right? Like he that's basically the big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We have no idea what they are. Like we don't know what you have to do to get put in the protocols. Now it's gone from 10 days to 5 days. Apparently if you get two negatives within 24 hours, you get out of it. But I didn't know that. Because they don't really say anything about it. Like there's just no
wasn't the clarity. Case a week ago. Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of keep changing the rules. So look, man, end of the day, I think the NBA is trying the best they can to get these guys on the floor. But in situations like these, someone brought this up in my mentions today about the Warriors played the last stretch of last season with seven guys, eight guys every night. Right. And I think that was one of those things where fair, unfair is not really the point, but it's just like
sometimes your season. And by the way, part of the reason the Warriors were down to 7 to 8 guys was they had guys like Smiley who were on the roster, but unplayable. Right.
Wow. So. Just a shout out to old Smiley Bags back there. It's tough. Draymond wouldn't have played tonight anyway, but I think we all knew that the Warriors were probably going to win by 20 tonight. Would have been a happy green room, but it is what it is. I think his point that the NBA is consistent. We seem to hear that a lot from a lot of players. Sam, you tweeted about kind of the other leagues not really having that or as much of an outrage, right? Let's look at the NFL. I know some players are mad, but it's not to the amount that, you know, Baker Mayfield's pissed, but who's Baker Mayfield? Well, the NBA, it's like LeBron's not happy, KD, Draymond, like these guys are superstars that don't seem happy with the way that things are being run. So it is interesting that the NBA is seeing a little bit more pushback than what other leagues are.
Yeah, and not much else to say about this. Like, again, Andy Liu only has a PhD. He's not a full-fledged doctor. I'm not a doctor. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't really care to opine too much on this. Like, you guys don't listen to this pod for Andy and my medical takes. The only thing I can like comment about is it feels like the lack of consistency is starting to catch up to players.
Yep. Yep. Well, we'll see what happens in the new year. Hopefully they'll get stuff figured out.
Yeah. All right. With that said, the Warriors officially are done with basketball in 2021. First half of 2021 was rough. Who can forget the Brad Wanamaker era, the Kelly Oubre era, all that stuff. But like in considering the 2021-2022 season, I would say the first half of the season could not have gone any better for this team. They're going to end, 27-7? Is that correct?
Yep.
I don't think, Andy, you're more optimistic than you. Did you see them being this good?
No. I mean, actually, if we're talking about preseason projections, you had them higher than me. Remember that? People can go back to the podcast. People always think I'm more optimistic about this team. I think I had the Warriors as a 4-5 seed. You had them maybe in the 3 seed. You had the Lakers below the Warriors. Right. You look like a fucking genius, prescient, as always with that take. So this is one of those things where I think I did not think the Warriors would find the joy and the fire that they had that would make them special in 2014 again. And they did. They do.
And I feel like if there's anything we want to talk about for the first 34 games of the season, not quite all the way through, but like October through New Year's Eve. So the first, 40% of the season, I think that's the overwhelming take. Joy, right? Like it's corny, but they look like the Warriors that we all fell in love with and the Warriors that kind of made them a global brand, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, GP2 is kind of like this version of, I don't know, Sean Livingston / Andre Iguodala, you can say. Most Bates, they've got that kind of guy where he's just fun off the bench, shooter. Like they've got that kind of guy in Otto. Exactly, right? Otto's better.
Or Bielitsa.
Belly a little bit, maybe even more belly, but like they've just got JTA. Is kind of like that energy guy that people love, like Leandro Barbosa, in terms of mindset, mentality, not the same type of player, but like in terms of that. And Leandro Barbosa, they got that type of player in Jordan Poole. So it's like, Steve Kerr's ecstatic. He has 13 guys that he can play. Chris Chioza plays for no reason. You know, Steve loves that. So it's like, we get all the stuff we get to get mad about, but overall, like the Warriors are back to who they were. The best part, I think, is that I would say the best is still yet to come because today would have been the last game of the season, but we saw footage of Clay scrimmaging. And I think that's really what the end of 2021 brings to us, is that the best is still to come.
Yeah, the Warriors have given us the belief that they're back, and we haven't even seen Klay Thompson. That's really like we can microanalyze like, oh man, how are they going to counter Kyrie and Harden and KD all at the same time and all this stuff? But like, you know, and I'm just using the Nets as a specific example, but like as a Warrior fan, it's hard not to be optimistic because until you see Klay Thompson play, until you see him not look like Klay Thompson and like be a problem, like you're playing with house money. This is the team with the best record in the NBA, and they don't even have their quote unquote second best player right now.
Yeah. The Brooklyn Nets can make an argument where it's like, hey, they haven't had Kyrie all season, but like, who knows where that's going to go? At least with the Warriors,
Kyrie might be like running for the president of Bolivia by the playoffs. Who knows? Yeah.
He looks skinnier every time I see him. I don't know how much skinnier he can get, but like, it just, the guy's like a skeleton. I'm sure he'll be fine. Hopefully, Kyrie. But I know it's just everything that you hear about Klay is so optimistic, which is why a year ago, you and I were sitting here talking about, you know, maybe the Warriors, maybe Klay isn't going to come back like the same guy. But now it's like, damn, like we'd be surprised if he doesn't come back kind of 80% of the player that he was before. That's the crazy part with this team. We were going to take 27-7. If this team was 21-13, I think, would we be... Maybe we wouldn't be happy, but we would be like,
okay. Oh, I'd be thrilled. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Let's save it. So they're 27-7. So you're talking about chopping 7 wins off. So they're, sorry, 6 wins.
Six wins. Yeah.
So 21. You're right. 21-13.
Yeah.
I would call that a massive W in terms of our preseason projections. By the way, just so we're clear, 21-13 would have them as
4-5 range.
The four seed in the NBA. They'd be tied with the Memphis Grizzlies. Yep. The Suns and the Jazz would have the better record, and it'd be the Warriors and the Grizzlies sitting right there. I think
actually tied for the third because who's the Warriors are out. So actually tied for the third. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. All things considered, I think everything's working in the Warriors' favor right now. And like now it's time to really discuss what they need to do going forward, because now we know they're good. Now we know they're in the conversation, and now it's no longer about being relevant. It's about how do we rate them versus like the top 5 or 6 teams.
And we were never even thinking that coming into the season. We were like,
get yourself at the table. We weren't like thinking about beyond that.
And that's what everybody was thinking about with this team. And that goes for, I think we talk about specific players. Andrew Wiggins, after the first week, has been amazing. He's come back from COVID, looked a little rusty, but still looks good. Gary Payton, too. Incredible. Who would have thought, right? Draymond Green is back to who he was 5 years ago. Did not think that was coming. Steph Curry, another surprise. He's actually not shooting very well. So it's like the Warriors are doing all this
with standards.
Yeah, a dude's shooting 39. Actually, a week away from our last podcast now. He's still shooting 39.something%.
39.6%.
It's like, oh, my God. Disgusting. Disgusting stuff. So it's like all of that. And you're sitting here and you're just like, man, 27-7 with Klay still to come back. So, yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, let's do some New Year's resolutions going forward. So, like, I feel like the easiest way to end this year is, all right, the Warriors are 27-7. They're tied for the one seed with the Suns. They have the best record in the NBA. What are your resolutions? Give me like 2 to 3 things you want to see from the Warriors going into 2022.
Well, let's go back and forth. I'll start with one. The first one, kind of like, we'll just go like number two or number three on the list, is I want to see Jordan Poole's improvement. I want to see what can he get better at doing in terms of shot selection? Is he going to actually, my thing with Jordan Poole, which I kind of don't understand, is he a great shooter or is he just an okay shooter? Right. Or is he kind of in between that? I don't think we know. Like, is he a knockdown wide open guy? Because if he is, if he's 40% when he's wide open, that's incredible. But he's missed a lot of open shots beginning of the season. So I want to see how he does in terms of shooting, improving on that. And the decision-making, he's gotten so much better decision-making-wise. And he's going to be the guy as the second unit floor guy now, right, along with Andre Iguodala. So I want to see what he looks like with that, with James Wiseman, fingers crossed, whenever he comes back. So that's number one for me. Or number three.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go with Jordan Poole also because I think he's the key to the team being better. But tying into that, if we're honest, he's probably the second best player on this roster in terms of breaking off a defender off the bounce, behind Steph Curry, of course. And I think that matters more and more in the playoffs. So, like, New Year's resolution, I want to see Jordan Poole grow from there. That's literally where it is. Now, taking it in a different direction, New Year's resolution, I want to see Draymond Green continue to grow offensively. That's my other New Year's resolution for this team. I think Draymond's having a bounce back season defensively. There's no other way around that. He's been phenomenal. He looks reborn. I can go with superlatives on him. He's been
shooting's the highest he's ever been from the field, by the way, 55% from the field. He's never shot that high. He's a 44% from the field type of guy.
I want to see Draymond lock into this because I think that will legitimately decide how real this Warriors team is.
Yeah. 29% from three. So still pretty bad from three, but we'll see it get better. For me, the biggest, most important thing is, do they have a consistent crunch time offense? Do they have specific pet plays that they can go to? Can they figure out what they can do when Steph Curry calls for a pick and roll in crunch time and they double him and take him out of the play? Because right now it's working. It is consistently working in crunch time. And that's something I want to see them fix. Is it going to be Klay Thompson? Most likely, right? Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole. Which one of those guys plays in crunch time? I would like to see, as the schedule gets tougher here for the next few months, them figure out what their actual crunch time lineup and offense actually is. Is Steve Kerr going to change his ways? Is he just going to go defense only? Is he going to close with Iguodala? Is he going to close with Looney? Is he going to say, yeah, Otto and Jordan Poole, you guys are good offensively, but we can't play with you guys defensively. I'm going to rely on the old heads. If that's the case, then Steph has no space. Right, especially in crunch time. It's just, hey, pray he makes a 30-foot step back three. So it's like, what do they do there to figure that out? And I'd like to see them, I don't know what it is, Sam. That's why I'm not Steve Kerr. I'd like to see them do something different than what they're doing today.
New Year's resolution, Jonathan Kuminga. Tying into this. So Kuminga's last game was kind of the rookie nightmare game, right? He can't make a free throw. He just, that last game made me like him more because he could not have had more things go wrong for him between missing layups and foul free throws and all that stuff. And he fought through it. Like, to me, that showed me, oh, he's a mentally tough guy. Like, he has potential to be a very, very special player. So for me, New Year's resolution, I want to see where Jonathan Kuminga lands, because I think he has the potential to be a very, very special player. And I don't just mean a 3-and-D guy. I mean like a centerpiece guy going forward. And I want to see what that looks like, because I watched him in our last Warrior game before the All-Star break. Or sorry, All-Star break. Wow. That's awful. Before the
nice.
Before the COVID break. That's a better way to put it. Kind of have a nightmare time with fouls, with all that stuff. And it didn't bother him. He kept playing through it. And that told me that's a tough guy. I want to see more from, like, that made me very excited to see what else we can have.
Okay. Thank you, Sam Kawakami. Appreciate that. by the way, Tim Kawakami on our last podcast. Incredible.
Yeah, check it out. Friend of the show.
Official friend of the show. All right. I got one more. I got one more New Year's resolution. You finish off with one more too. I got one more for this team. I think their defense is going to be good enough, but I changed my Twitter name from Shohei Ohtani stan account to this, Sam. I think Gary Payton needs as many minutes as he can handle in the next 6 months. And we're not just talking about regular season. We're talking about postseason. One of the things that I think that's shown to me this first half is Gary Payton came in and kind of blew the league apart, and just like nobody knew who he was. So his defensive style, his cutting to the rim, all that was effective. It's kind of like the first punch, right? You get your first knockout, the guy goes down. What GP2 has done after the league has adjusted to him is shoot the three better. Like now he's a three-point shooter, and he's still so great defensively that I don't think guys are ever going to be able to score on him. So now he's not only become a great cutter, a great defensive player, he's also a catch-and-shoot guy that's shooting a decent percentage from the field. We're talking about 40% from the field. And if he can keep that up, I need him to play 25 minutes at least a game. I think he becomes a game changer for this team. Sixth man, seventh man, something like that. Even more so than someone like Kuminga. I get your point on Kuminga. I think he can be a centerpiece player too, but I think he's years away. GP2 has the feel, the instinct, and the polish to be that player right now for this team right now. So I would like, in terms of resolutions, for them to play him 20 plus minutes, 20, 25 minutes a game, because I just think he's that good. He's just that good for this team.
I can go with that. New Year's resolution, the Light Years podcast, New Year's resolution, more GP2. Let's end it there. We're going to end it there. This is going to be a mini pod. We're going to be done for the year. We will see you next year. In other words, in 2 days. we're going to end it there. More GP2 in the new year. We appreciate everyone. Have a safe New Year's Eve. See you on the other side.